Welcome to the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast, the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast. We're interviewing ordinary people with extraordinary jobs. Today, we've got a special treat. We've got two guests today. We've got both Andrew Kirkwood and Donna Law, both from Woden Community Service in the ACT, where they're going to talk about disability services and the great things that are happening down there. It's a great interview. I really enjoyed doing it. When I decided that I was going to do these podcasts, disability services and talking to the people who work in that field was one of the must-haves on my podcast. So I'm really proud to bring you both Andrew and Donna, who give us an honest appraisal of how they've come to be, working in disability services, and some of the trials and tribulations that they've had over the time. So, without any further ado, I will bring you both Andrew and Donna from Woden Community Service. Welcome, Andrew. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Steve.
Good one. Andrew, let's kick off. Let's get into a bit about Woden Community Service, if you can.
Yeah, well, we're a community-based organisation, and we have a number of programs, three specifically for people with disabilities, and they're the CLS, which is the Community Life Skills, which is for, I think it's people from the ages of 35 onwards, and we also have the community-supported respite, which is the younger guys, which is who I work with specifically, and they're from the ages of 13 to 25. And the idea of our program is to support these people out in the community, try and change some of the misconceptions that people in the community may have about disability, and to support guys having fun out in the community and improving on life skills, and also creating relationships between not just ourselves and these guys with disability, but also amongst other people in the community.
Good one. And how long have you been there for?
This is my sixth year, yep. So it's been quite a while.
And what's your journey to the Woden Community Service? Where were you before that?
I was at university and looking for a bit of a part-time job and saw an ad on the ANU Jobs website for disability support. And I thought I'd ring them up and see what it was about. And, yeah, started off there as a bit of part-time work, and I've sort of stayed on ever since.
And your university degree, was that in the care field, or was that something else totally different?
Not at all. At the time, I was doing Asian linguistics, so completely different. And now I've been doing law part-time for the past 4 years.
Yep. Okay.
So fairly unrelated to the community sector.
Yep. And why disability, Andrew? It's a specialist field, I guess. And why have you chosen to dedicate the last 6 years to disability?
Well, I guess initially, when you think about part-time uni jobs, your options are fairly limited to sort of washing dishes or, you know, maybe some temp work in an office. And I really thought that being out in the community and working with people would be a lot more rewarding, a lot more interesting.
Okay. And so you started off part-time, and you've been there ever since. What sort of format is part-time? Like, obviously, you're studying. Is that after hours or during hours, Saturdays, Sundays? What's part-time in that field?
Well, our community-supported respite operates after school care. So it's from 2:30 in the afternoons till 5:30. So they're just three-hour shifts.
Yeah.
Which makes it fairly manageable when you're also studying.
Yeah, okay. Can you, Andrew, I'd be really interested to know, and I think the listeners would be interested to know, what does your day entail? Like, how long do you work a day? Is it limited hours? You know, what's the sort of mechanics of it day to day?
Well, normally a lot of our guys will be coming from a school bus, so they'll be arriving about 3 o'clock. So they'll hop off the bus, and we'll be there to greet them. They'll usually come into the – we're based at Woden Youth Centre. So they'll come in and we'll have some afternoon tea, and we always have a set activity plan for the afternoon. And they vary quite a bit, ranging from sort of we might be doing some life skills such as cooking or going and shopping, or we could be doing fun things like going to the pool or going bowling. We also deal with more life skills such as bus training for some of the guys, you know, tagging on and off on the action buses, for, remembering which bus they need to take. We go to the gym, which is good, trying to help promote sort of healthy lifestyles, which can be a problem for some of the people with disabilities. And but predominantly it's about getting the guys out in the community and doing activities where they're seen and not sort of locked away in a house somewhere where, you know, away from the rest of society.
Okay. So they you know, they file out of the bus at 3 o'clock. How many people would you be caring for? Like, how many people arrive at the centre each day?
It's usually around 5 or 6.
Yep.
But we have, depending on the... Oh, sorry, it's about 5 to 10 arrive every day. And then, depending on the level of needs, they'll either be like a one-on-one, so one care for one young person, or at the most, it's 2-on-1.
Okay.
So plenty of direct support.
Yep, okay. So what sort of... So the people who visit you on a daily basis, what sort of disabilities or needs do they have that you've encountered there?
Well, we have a fairly broad spectrum of different needs. We have a lot of guys with autism, and then we have people that access that have cerebral palsy and wheelchairs. Yeah, there's a few different people that have the vision impaired. Yeah, it's quite a few different things.
All right. Well, can I? This is what I'm really interested in. It's the mechanics of what you do. So,
yeah.
So I've got a bit of a vision on the needs and the disabilities that some of the young people who come and visit you. But you know, what do you have to do for them? You know, on a day to day, when they come to visit you, what do you have to do personally with them and to help them as a duty, as part of your duty?
Okay, well, the higher needs people will require assistance with eating their afternoon tea. So that might involve, you know, cutting up food for them, and then we will try and get the young person to do as much as they possibly can for themselves. So we're just going to try and to support them to do their normal tasks. So that might be, say, chopping up a sandwich, putting a portion on a fork, and then putting the fork in the young person's hand and then prompting them to put it into their mouths. And then to, you know, they might spill some sandwich, so we need to clean that up and that kind of thing. Other people also need assistance getting changed if they have an incontinence aid. So they might need full support where you need to change that as well. But that's sort of for the more higher needs people. Other guys, it's more just maybe being aware in their social surroundings and trying to prevent them from doing things like walking across the road without looking and being hit by a car or something. There's not much social awareness going on. So I have to be really careful and mindful about where we are and who's around. Also things like, say, walking on a bike track or a bike path, being wary of people on push bikes screaming past, not being aware that there's people with disabilities around. Yeah, so a number of things like that.
Before, Andrew, this is really interesting to me. I've always wondered what a carer would have to do and you know, as part of their day. Can you tell me, do you have someone in your life, before you started, do you have someone in your life that had a disability?
I didn't when I started, but almost concurrently, my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So a lot of the skills that I've learnt from my work are fairly interchangeable with my mother now, 6 years on.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Well, good one, mate. When you first started, how hard was it for you when you first started? You're a part-timer, you're a young fella, you've come and volunteered your time, and how hard was it for you when you first started? Did you have to adjust your thinking, the way you did things?
It's a complete change of how you sort of interact with people. It's realizing that, you know, something can go wrong at almost any stage. You've really got to be looking around, ensuring that everyone's safe, sort of instantly acknowledging different hazards, and it could be anything from a missing paver on a footpath to steps or animals, anything. So luckily I had some great trainers at the time who really showed us little techniques like body blocking. So say, for example, you're walking on a footpath and to your right there's the road, then you'd physically put yourself in between the young person and the road so there was no risk that they'd fall off the side of the curb and into some oncoming traffic. But a lot of it was, readjusting to realizing that these people do need, you can't take anything for granted, any sort of, at times, any sort of prerequisite knowledge that you assume people would have.
Yep. Yeah. Was it confronting in any way, mate?
I don't think so. Not for me personally. I'm sure it would be for certain people, but yeah, I sort of take it all as it comes and never really found anything too confronting or shocking or anything like that.
Okay. What makes, so I guess the line of question that I've taken firstly is to get to know the role and what you do and what sort of thing. What sort of qualities do you think would make a really good carer in that space?
Well, it has to be understanding, first of all, what your actual job is, which is it's helping to facilitate these people to have a fulfilling life and to become, to learn new skills and to, you know, enjoy their lives. So you have to really be empathetic in that regard, and you have to be active and dedicated to your objective. So, yeah, it really is, when you think about what the alternatives are for some of these people, this is their kind of their 3 hours after school. They want to wind down, they want to have a good time and be taught something as well. So if that's what you're there to, if that's what you want to do and help them, then it's probably it's one of the vital skills that you need to have.
Yeah, okay. But in your time, so you've been there 6 years. Have there been many people that have sort of come and gone as employees and volunteers?
Yeah, there has been not a relatively large staff turnover. It's more about people being in my position where they're uni students and they come in maybe in their second year with a year or 2 years to go in their degree, and they'll finish up, graduate, and then move on to a different career path. So a few people have gone that way.
Yeah.
That's mainly about it, really, why we have people that leave the industry, at least in my experience.
Yeah, okay. What about, in terms of your role, the question I'm going to ask is, what's some of the things that you've experienced that made your job difficult out there and, you know, just in your job in general?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on certain individuals. Say if we want to, the activity might be go for a walk down the lake, and they might be fed up and not want to walk today, so, you know, they'll just start hitting the deck. They'll just drop down and sit, plummet down their bums and won't want to move anywhere. So and that may be okay in a fairly quiet environment, but if they do that in a shopping centre or on a bus, and you've got to try and get these guys up off the bus or out of the way of, you know, oncoming traffic, or that can be fairly difficult. Also, some of the guys have difficulties expressing themselves, so they can become quite violent if they're upset or angry or worried or nervous, and we can sometimes bear the brunt of that. So I've been whacked quite a few times and had some hair pulled, but I guess it's understanding that it's not done maliciously. It's always done through people trying to express themselves in a non-verbal way that, you know, we mightn't understand ourselves. But, we do see go through some fairly tough things with some people, but I've never sort of gone, oh, I've had too much today and I want to throw in the towel and that's enough.
Yep. You mentioned that you've got great support. Can you just quickly go through some of the training that you've got? That wasn't part of my questioning, but I'm really interested to know, how do you condition yourself and how do you prepare for those sorts of things? Like, you're walking down a shopping centre and maybe someone in your care sits down in the middle of the aisle. What sort of training do you do to familiarise yourself and prepare for that?
We're all a fairly tight-knit group, and we talk a lot within ourselves about the best way to manage situations and we'll have sort of a debrief if something bad happens, and we'll come up with different strategies or what worked well and what didn't in that circumstance. But generally, we usually go out in groups of, say, two carers with supporting three people. And it's usually maybe someone a bit more senior than someone else, so they're there to offer advice and to form a bit of backup. So that's usually how we go through. And we also go to different training seminars, and we have a couple every year that we go to, and dealing care and crisis management and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what about policies and procedures? I'd imagine you've got somewhere stashed away in the bookshelf, you've got like a folder or a procedure that if this occurs, then do this type thing. I'd imagine you've probably got one as part of policy, but I'd imagine that's dealing with different scenarios would be quite a dynamic thing to deal with.
Yeah, there's as many different scenarios that can happen as there, you know, under the sun. So it's hard to... Yeah, you obviously can't write a policy on every possible different circumstance that could come into play. I'd say that predominantly it's taking a line of common sense, I guess, and just always having the young person's safety at heart and the communities as well.
So. Yeah. Okay. I just want to get on to public perception quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You are, I guess, okay, so you're in a shopping centre and something happens. What is that hard? Do you find it hard to deal with the public perception of, I don't know. I guess the reason I ask this is because there's a lot of people out there that don't really know what to do. You know, they don't really know if something happens. Let's say you're walking in a shopping centre, someone you're caring for maybe hits you or pulls your hair, like you mentioned. For people who are around, you know, who see that, I know for me personally, I don't really know what to do. Do I, you know, do I stop and stare? You know, obviously you don't stop and stare. Do you get up and help? You probably, for me, I probably wouldn't help because I'd probably think to myself I'd, inflame the situation. Well, what are some of the things that I guess people have done in the public that they can do in those sorts of situations?
Yeah, well, we've had various sort of different reactions to things like that happening. Some people will come over and offer assistance. Some people at times have asked if we'd need security to help us out, things like that. But I think best of all, it's probably just kind of to leave it to the carers to do their job. I mean, we're trying as much as possible to promote the young people in the community as being, you know, break down the barriers of disability and make them appear that, well, not appear, but promote that... there isn't such a big difference between disability and non-disabled people. So if it does get out of hand, obviously we're very concerned as well about the public perception, which is trying to de-escalate the situation. But there'll be people who are quite shocked when they see people with disabilities, or they sort of turn their head with a bit of disgust, or whether that's from not being exposed to people with disabilities very much, or maybe it's a cultural thing where it's not really seen from where they come from. I mean, obviously what we're trying to do is a bit more community exposure, so it does break down some of these barriers and it becomes a lot more normal. But in regards to your question of what people should do, it's probably, probably just give people some space and just let the carers do their job.
Andrew, can you give us some examples of some of the challenges that you've had in public around perception and behaviour, that sort of thing?
Yeah, just recently we're running our school holiday program, which is obviously during the school holidays we go between 9 and 4, and we were going to a cinema to try and watch a film, and I think we had a concession for people with disabilities. However, when we approached to buy our tickets, the manager there, well, we didn't know it was the manager at the time, requested for some evidence to support that the three young men we were supporting had a disability. And they became quite confrontational in regards to, you know, demanding some sort of evidence. And these guys had their disability carers' their support cards, and we had our IDs, and ended up with our manager having to come across and getting quite a heated argument with the manager in regards to letting the guys in.
Right. The three young men were what sort of disabilities did they have?
Varying from autism and some fairly cerebral palsy, some fairly some obvious physical and mental disabilities. It would be, you'd be pretty hard pressed to not have picked up on it being a member of the general public.
And the car that you guys flashed to the manager to say, young Billy here has a disability, is that an ACT government standard issue card, or is it what sort of card is it?
It's a national card. It's like a Centrelink card.
Yep.
So I think everyone with a disability has issued one that has that's on the Centrelink healthcare benefits.
Yep. Okay.
And also we have a I think it's a companion card, which some of the guys carry now, which is in their wallets, and then it shows that they have a disability, and normally the person accompanying them is their companion or their carer. And we also have our own IDs issued by Woden Community Services to say that we're support workers and carers.
Yeah, okay. And so what I'm trying to get at, it's an official card issued by the government, and yet it wasn't accepted by the cinema.
Yeah.
Okay, what else? What other sort of stories can you give listeners that has sort of taken you aback at how people have behaved and reacted to the young people in your care?
Sometimes when we're in some more public areas, like say a cafe, some of the guys might be getting a little bit more boisterous, or maybe forgetting they're inside and using very loud tones. And we have once or twice had wait staff come and ask us to leave, which is fairly confronting, and it's fairly traumatic for the guys who are, halfway through their muffin or something. And also having other customers at times who, they've gotten up and left and gone to different places, or, given us horrible looks. It's it can be quite confronting and quite upsetting.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, let's get to some lighter things. In your time, a young person's progression through life and through the program there, is there many? Can you give us some examples on what a young person has done, or a group of young people have done, to make your career and your choice in employment all worth it?
We've had, since I've been around for quite a few years, it's nice to see some of the young guys who are at school when we first start to sort of leave school and then go into some sort of form of employment, and then to, get invited to the 21st when they come of age, and the families really enjoy the care as being a part of the children's lives, obviously, because we do play quite a large role. And, getting invited to things like 21st is always nice, and then seeing them continue on. But we've also had a young person that came to our centre for a little while and was only sort of a mild intellectual disability, and it didn't seem like what we were offering was quite catered enough for what he was capable of doing. So we worked in partnership with the Australian Public Service Commission and managed to get him and another girl a sort of a job share as an office junior. And I went over and assisted sort of implementing the young man into his new role. We were there for 3 months and doing tasks such as shredding, photocopying, sorting mail, odd jobs around the office, but meaningful jobs, not things like going and getting people coffee or cleaning the break rooms or things like that. I can foresee him having an actual real career in the public service, which is fantastic.
That is fantastic,
mate. I think they're also really keen to get us back and to do some further training to, realise that maybe some of the office stuff's even, a little bit below his capabilities and find something a little bit more catered to what he's capable of doing.
I was going to ask you, my next question was, what are some of the extraordinary things you've seen in your time that people have done in your care? That would be one of them. Do you have any other examples?
We've got another new initiative coming up, and that's where we've got, it started today actually, we've got two young guys who are going doing work experience with the ACT ambulance helicopter service. So I'm keen to get on board with this. At the moment, it's a bit of a clash with different duties, but I think once again the guys will be starting off to doing some, you know, some fairly sort of basic tasks around the place until the, you know, the employers can gauge what the guys are capable of doing and hopefully doing some really interesting stuff over there for them.
That's fantastic, fantastic. Why should someone come in and volunteer their time to help care for disabled kids or be part of the program there?
Well, you've got to have a passion for it. You've got to really want to see young people succeed, no matter what sort of, you know, background they have. I mean, it all breaks down. I guess everyone's only got one life, so it's it'd be a shame if people, because they have a disability, are limited from having, you know, meaningful careers and meaningful relationships with people and friends and getting out and about in the community. So if your passion is to help facilitate that in any way, then that'd be a perfect. Getting into disability would be perfect for you.
And how would they do that, Andrew? If as a volunteer or even a casual employee there, how would they go about doing that, engaging with you guys at Woden Community Services?
Oh, I'd be finding the website. It'd be pretty easy.
And what's that? Do you want to give it a plug?
what is it? www.wcs.org.au.
Yep. And they can just register.
Hyperlinks for volunteers and things like that.
Yep.
But otherwise, there's I think Disability Care Australia. You can find the website there.
Yep.
You contact Donna personally. She'll try and find you something if you're keen on volunteering.
Yep.
But otherwise, I'd probably suggest just having a look online and doing a Google search, and you'll probably be a whole range of different organisations, from Anglicare, St Vincent de Paul. They'll probably all have, you know, looking for volunteers for people in the disability field. There's also a lot of paid employment too around ACT, different houses, Hartley House. There's Allura, there's Teen House. So there's heaps of things around.
Cool, yep. And what sort of, if you could leave the listeners with a small message around perception and understanding, what would it be?
That's a tough one. Perception and understanding.
Yeah, some advice maybe.
Yeah, patience maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah, patience, keeping an open mind, and just being empathetic and realizing that, you know, these are people and they have the same needs that everyone else has and the same desires and wants and to be accepted, and just like everyone.
Brilliant, brilliant. Andrew Kirkwood from Woden Community Services, thanks for spending some time with the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast. All right, okay. Donna Law, welcome to the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast, where we're interviewing ordinary people with extraordinary jobs. Donna, can you just give us a real quick rundown of what you do there at Woden Community Services?
Okay, hi Steve. I'm the manager of the disability programs here at Woden Community Services. So I facilitate all the paperwork and all the government side of things and government funding and working out programs, liaising with staff, making sure that we have the right staff for the right individual, developing really interesting programs. And I liaise with parents and carers and other community services around Canberra to ensure that we deliver a high-quality service for each individual.
Brilliant. And what's on the horizon in terms of programs? What can people in care expect in the next few years in terms of the programs offered by people such as yourselves?
Well, currently as... all service providers are aware that we deliver services under a funding agreement, usually with each state government, and that's how we're funded to provide these services to people with disabilities. What is really exciting is that under the Disability Care Australia, which is the old NDIS, we'll be able to break free from those funding agreements and constraints in the contract to be able to meet each individual's needs. So so basically each individual will receive their own funding and will be able to come to us and tell us what they need in their lives. So instead of currently under the programs where we deliver services that we and the Australian government believe meet the majority of people's needs and wants and be able to facilitate some respite and that sort of thing, under Disability Care Australia, each individual will have their own voice and their own support, and they'll be able to come to us and tell us what they want. And I think it's a really, really exciting space. And for a service delivery area that we are here, it's really important to us that we support each individual. And so it's a really exciting time here. And the ACT, we roll into the Disability Care Australia 1 July 2014. So we're doing lots of discussions with current service users and parents, families, carers, anyone who's involved in these young persons' lives, our staff, on what ideas and what supports and what new things we can do with these young people. And it means we can also, as a service, grow with the families and grow and meet their needs and become a really, really important big player in their role, in their lives.
Great. Widen Community Services does a lot of great things, and one of those things is placing young people in roles in terms of work experience and whatnot. A pretty valuable program in mm-hmm. in anyone's life. Can you give us? This is a chance for you guys to give us a bit of give the people who are, I guess, on the other side of the scale, there are the businesses and agencies and organisations who open the doors up to these young people. Do you want to give those businesses and agencies, organisations a bit of a plug who have gone out on a limb and have accepted these young people?
Yeah, Steve, that'd be great. We haven't traditionally been, as you say, a job support agency or placement agency. What we've done is evolve with these young people through their needs and changing needs in their lives. So it started off being the respite that Andrew discussed. And as they've gotten older and have finished school and they have had needs, we've facilitated job placements as a natural progression. And it seems that it's been really quite successful. And we've been able to place two young people, as we said, at the Australian Public Service Commission, and they have been extremely supportive in placing the two young people in paid employment. So they're contracted to the Australian government to provide office support. I had two support workers there supporting each of the employees on their day of work. And the APSC have welcomed them with open arms and has been supporting them and has kept in touch with us. And we've been keeping in touch with these young people too. And it's been really, really rewarding to see them start and grow in their positions to the point now where, as Andrew was saying, one of our young men has outgrown us, so to speak, and he's just gone on in leaps and bounds and will continue his career in the APSC. So that's something that's really, really exciting, and it's great to share the experiences with the parents and things as well and be able to celebrate our successes. The other is the new links that we've made with ACT Ambulance out at the helipad. Two of our young men who come here during the day for day support, so they start here at 9 and finish at 5:30 in the afternoon. They both love aeroplanes and watching, you know, going to the airport and being involved in aviation and things like that. So I managed to contact the people out at the helipad, and they've embraced this initiative where these two young men go out every Tuesday and help out with some odd jobs and see how that develops and see where they can lead into some paid work if things go well. So we do supply the support workers, so it is free of charge to the employees, employers out there or possible employers. But on another note, it is difficult to find right placements for the right people. As you'd be aware, getting the right person for the right job sometimes can be quite difficult. And we've found here in the organisation that as a manager, I use a lot of my personal contacts to open the doors for these young people. When you're at a barbecue or you talk to people and you find out names and connections, and you just keep following those connections up and talking to people. And around Canberra, we've been pretty lucky because once you've made that connection and you explain to employers what your expectations are and what, you know, and what they would expect from us and what we can provide them and what these young people can bring to their businesses, you know, the personalities, the abilities that some of these young men have that people don't see under the disability banner. A lot of people with disabilities have phenomenal abilities that they can, you know, in a supported environment, they can thrive. And so once the doors are open and we have that open line of communication, a lot of employers are pretty happy to give it a trial run and see how things work.
Fantastic. One last thing, Donna. Yep. If people listening to this podcast now and in the future, I dare say a few of them are going to be people who own businesses or who are managers, line managers, employers, potential employers. If you could leave them with a little word of advice or even a message globally, like a global broadcast message, what would that be?
Have an open mind and an open heart, because one day you may have a child with a disability and you'd like people to welcome you.
Fantastic, fantastic. Donna Law from the Woden Community Service, thank you for spending some time with me, Steve Scotland, on the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast, where we interview ordinary people with extraordinary jobs. In your case and Andrew's, extraordinary people with extraordinary jobs. Thanks for spending time with me.
Thanks, Dave.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew Kirkwood and Donna Law from Woden Community Service in the ACT, doing great work with young people with disability. If you've ever had the thought of helping out with people with disability, you want to be involved as a volunteer or even looking for work in that space, have a look at wcs.org.au for more information there. I really enjoyed that podcast. I really enjoyed that interview with both Andrew and Donna. Some great insight there, some great stories. And from the positive, it's fantastic to see businesses out there that are willing to take on young people with disability. I really enjoyed that interview and I hope you did too. That's all for this week from the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast, interviewing ordinary people with extraordinary jobs. Have a great night.
Welcome to the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast, the Hot Chocolate Recruitment Podcast.